Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be together, to study your word. Thank you, God, that you're calling us. Give us a deeper revelation and understanding of what it is you want us to do on a daily basis. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be here. Yes. Hallelujah. Last week, we shared that God will fulfill his purpose in you. And that verse is from Psalm 138, verse 8. It says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. And the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." So God is at work on the inside of us so that we can fulfill his purpose. He said he'll fulfill his purpose in us. It's not our purpose, it's God's. And so that's the whole process of growing in Christ and putting aside selfishness and laying aside what we want to surrender to what God wants. It's like Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's our prayer. So this morning we're going to look at some passages of God will fulfill his purpose. It's a definite thing. You know, we can count on it. Amen. Amen? Amen? Aren't you glad there's something in this world that you can count on? Isaiah 46, 10 and 11 says this, "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do." So God will do what he has planned to do, and God does what pleases him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God does what pleases him. You know, he knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and he is the end. And he sits in the heavenlies and he knows the whole picture of what's going on in the earth today. Amen? It was interesting, like I shared last week, when we were in Africa, we prayed before we went anywhere. Always took time to pray. I don't think we do that so much here in America. But you know, that is something that we really need to pause and do before we walk out our door. Just stop and pray and ask the Lord to be with you and to send the angels of the Lord before you, because we live in perilous times. The scripture says evil will wax worse and worse, and we see it on every side. I shared with Leonard this week, I said, almost every day we've seen an abduction of a young child. Did you see the woman in, I think she was in a General Dollar store, and her 13-year-old daughter, some man was dragging her in the aisle trying to abduct her and get her out the door. Yes. Almost every day you're seeing something like that. God be with us and protect us, because we won't live in fear. If we live in fear, we're not going to fulfill our purpose. And God's purpose in the earth for us today is to be ministers of reconciliation. He wants us to reconcile people back to him. He wants us to be a blessing in our community. First of all, through our prayer. You know, the church does spiritual disciplines. And one of the things the priest did, and we're all priests, right, is pray. We offer up prayers on behalf of the people. So the first thing that I know God wants us to do, besides being ministers of reconciliation, we took care of that last week, right? Is he wants us to pray. That's what we do as priests. We offer prayers and petitions to the Lord on behalf of our city, on behalf of our government, on behalf of our friends, our family. We offer petitions of prayer on behalf of the church, that the church will rise up and be the church that God has called us to be. that will stop trying to be like the world and imitating the world, but we will be the church of Jesus Christ with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and wherever you go, you are the church. And you take the church with you in the highways and the byways, in your workplace, in the grocery store, at the Starbucks. You are the church. God's really been challenging me this week. I was at CI, and we had a guest speaker and teacher. Her name is Evelyn Street, and she's an evangelist. And she wrote this book, It's Not Odd, It's God. And I had to read that for the class that I was taking. I graduated. Yay, I got my certificate. I passed. Yes. I'm glad it's over. I've been going down the second weekend of the month. And boy, this Sunday morning, you know, I'm like, thank you, Lord. I don't have to make that trip again in July. I've enjoyed going. However, it's a long weekend when I do that. But Evelyn has great stories in here. And I told her, I said, when I read your book, I thought, man, I wish I would have wrote down all my stories. And because, you know, God does so much on a daily basis, and you're so excited about what God does, and then my personality type is I'm looking forward to the next thing God does. You know, I'm looking for the next situation rather than writing down what he just did and rejoicing in all of that and celebrating that. I'm ready to move on. Anybody else like that? Am I the only one that's confessing my myself this morning? But anyway, she has some great, great stories and things that she's developed, and she's just out there. She's out there always looking for opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we were first learning to prophesy, I would ask the Lord for words for people as I would be out and about. And most of the time, the Lord would give me a word for the person that was taking my order at the drive-thru. And so as I'm giving my order, the Lord is giving me orders to share with this person when I pick up my food. And so that's quite challenging because I haven't even seen the person yet. I've only heard their voice. But many times, the person that was handing me my food, just a simple, I didn't say, thus saith the Lord. I remember one in particular. She handed me my food, and I looked at her, and I said, is your daughter sick? And she looked at me, and she's like, how did you know that? And I said, God is concerned about your daughter, and he's concerned about you. And so can we just pray right now for her? Yes. Prayed for her, tears running down her cheeks. Because people need an encouraging word. And so another personality, my personality style, I'm always in a hurry. Anybody else in a hurry? Let's get her in, get it done, let's get out of here. Amen. That's right. You know that. But the Lord's been challenging me to look around. Look around. Evelyn was sharing that every time she gets on a plane, God assigns her seat. And he just happens to assign her next to people who are hungry for God. And she carries with her many tools to witness with. And the way she knows what to take with her is that she gets up every morning and prays in the Holy Spirit for 1 hour. Isn't that what Bishop told us to do? Prays in the Spirit for 1 hour and then listens to the Spirit and starts packing her bag for what she should take with her for the day, because God is going to set her up to meet people who need an encouraging word. And I liked her philosophy because she said often she does eyedropper evangelism. It's just a little drop. we get the idea that we have to preach the whole gospel and we have to go through the whole Romans road and you know, talk to the person till they're so bored they can't wait to get away from us. Is that true? Have you ever done that? Like shared way too much and the person's cross-eyed by the time you're done? But she calls it eyedropper evangelism because God just tells her just to give them a little bit. And she developed this, it's called Godlink cards. Godlink cards. And I think we'll have some made up because on the front of it, I'll read to you what it says. Because it's a great tool that God gave her this idea. On the front it says, would you reconsider the kindness of God? He delights in you. God is not mad at you, no matter what you did. And then she lists some websites. And Sterling, if you'll pull up fatherslovedletter.com. fatherslovedletter.com. We're gonna watch that in a second. But then on the other side of the card, and she lists some websites for people to go to. And then she, on the other side, it says, you matter most to the one who matters most, Jesus. All who call on the Lord's name will be saved, Romans 10:13. And then she has the address and the website of the church that she works from. And so it's a great idea. She said she'll walk up to people that God points out and says, hey, would you like a cool card with some really great websites on it? You know, everybody surfs the web, right? Right? And it's just a great idea. Now, this Father's Love Letter, and we're going to watch this, and I'm going to ask Janet Benito if you'll show this to your Hispanic Bible study Monday night. They have it in Spanish. And they actually have it in every language. She said she has used this on her iPhone to share God's love with people. She said she was in a Japanese restaurant and they were preparing the food. And while the guy's preparing the food, she's showing him this... this video in Japanese, you know, and then they wanted to finish watching it, even though he was done with the food. It's not that long, but I don't know how long it is in Japanese, but it's in several different languages and permission to print it off so that you can get it in the language, download the text version of it, and print it off to hand out to people. And it's really beautiful. And I just wanted to show it to you this morning because God loves us so much. And you know, I know we love God here at River. You can feel God's love. James' brother said, I just want you to know when I walked in this place, I felt the presence of the Lord. God, Father is here. He's here. And he's drawing people close to him. And he wants us to be ambassadors of the message that he has for this hurting world. And so it's about 6 minutes, so let's just watch that.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad, Almighty God.
Isn't that beautiful? So you can get on that and use that and encourage people to look at that. And if we have some cards made up, who will use them? Will you use them if we have them made up? What a beautiful way. And also, Evelyn is a Restoring the Foundations minister, and she does RTF. And so she includes that website on her card. And I thought, what an awesome opportunity, because we have Restoring the Foundation teams here at River of Life. And she said people get really excited when they see on her card that she's has a website for dream interpretation. Well, we do that here. Hello. So it would really be a great opportunity. People are looking. And something that she encouraged us, and I think is so true, is that we have an ungodly belief that nobody wants to hear the gospel, or that no one wants to hear what I have to say, or that people really don't care. And if we have that belief, then we're not going to reach people. And so changing that belief to everyone wants to hear the gospel. And as she was sharing, I thought, yeah, that's right, because everyone has the God vacuum on the inside of them, right, that needs to be filled. And so sharing the gospel, we want an instant result. We want to see something instantly, but we might just be the person that sows the seed. We learned this when we planted the church and did evangelism down in the neighborhood. We were constantly sowing seeds into people's life about the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for them. We didn't see things happen immediately. But one story is when we were pastoring down on Jefferson Street, there was a house down there, and we always stopped there, encouraged them. We did some funerals for them. We did some weddings for them. They looked at us like their pastors, but they never graced the doors of the church. They never came through the doors. And later on at Revive this last year, we found out that their oldest son got saved and he's working in the ministry. We found out the mom and the dad, who were really potheads, lots of drugs in that house, turned their lives around, got saved, and are serving in a church. Those kinds of things really excite you when you know your labor is not in vain. Your labor is never in vain for the Lord. And so the eyedropper evangelism, I liked that term, because we're just giving them a little drop, a little seed. You know, seeds are pretty small when you put them in the ground, isn't that right? But just think about how they grow into plants that produce fruit. And it's the same way with the people. You know, God waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And so we have the good news of the gospel. We got the seed. And if we have some little tools that we can use and we pray, there are a lot of people we can reach. They may not end up here. We may not end up being the people that minister to them. However, as long as they end up in the kingdom of God, is that right? That's the goal, is to bring people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So God has a purpose for us, and if we will run after him, he'll fulfill the purpose. Amen. It just doesn't happen osmosis. You know, we do our part. That's right, Leslie. We do our part. We step out and do what we can do, and God always does the rest. And if you wait to do what you can do when you feel bold and courageous, you may not ever do it. I think it's Joyce Myers that says, do it afraid. Do it afraid. Just share God's love. And don't believe the lie. Break your agreement with the lie that people don't want to hear what you have to say. And you're not responsible for the result. Is that right? We take on false responsibilities by making ourselves feel guilty or embarrassed that we didn't see something happen right away. God is the one who takes care of the result. And so letting go. Father, help us let go of these ungodly beliefs that people do not want to hear the gospel. Lord, I thank you that you also, Lord, just remove from us our judgmental attitude, judging people by the way that they look. Surely they wouldn't want to hear the gospel. Look at them. Lord, just break that judgmental attitude from us and help us, God, to see people the way you see them. Lord, everyone is in need of a Savior and a relationship with you. And so, Lord, just give us the courage and the boldness to be the ministers of reconciliation that you've called us to be. And I know that that seed is already in us, and that's what I heard the Lord say. It's already there because I'm on the inside of you, and I'm roaring like a lion, and I want to get out. Hallelujah. He's roaring like a lion. He wants to reach the world. Jesus gave his life so that we could be his ambassadors here in the earth. So what has God called us to? We're going to go on, moving on in our message outline, 2 Timothy 1, 9 through 10. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Isn't that good? It's not because of anything we did that was so spectacular, but it's because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So God's purpose and grace is given to us through Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross, because he destroyed death and he gave us life. And we have eternal life right now. We are chosen to be holy and blameless, Ephesians 1, 4 through 7. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The riches of God's grace provides redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. What an amazing God we serve. And what an amazing opportunity we have as ministers of reconciliation to share the good news of the gospel. God's eternal purpose, Ephesians 3, 10 through 12. This is God's eternal purpose. It is his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. God's intent is to accomplish his eternal purpose through the church. And in 1 John, Jesus said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, when we are taking God to the streets and sharing about Jesus, we are destroying the works of the devil. We see the clasp and the grip of the devil on our culture. He's got a tight hold on it. But you know what? God has already defeated Satan. Didn't he? In Colossians 2:15, it says he spoiled principalities and powers. He stripped them of their powers. When Jesus was alive on the earth, he shared in Luke 11:22 about stripping the strong man and removing the strong man's weapons. Do you remember that parable? Jesus was referring to what he was about to do to the powers of darkness. He was about to go to the cross, conquer death, hell, and the grave, and strip them of their power. He came to destroy the works of the devil, because the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he is out murdering people. Violence is increasing. But God said that as the evil would grow worse upon the earth, our light will shine brighter and brighter. We want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, what we learned early on was the signs, wonders, and miracles are out in the street. We want to prophesy to one more person in the church. Hello, God gave us the ability to hear his voice to reach the lost. To reach out and give people an encouraging word. The gifts are wonderful and they should function in the church, but God meant for them to be tools and equipment for us to take out into the marketplace. To our fellow employee that works with us every day, that is hurting but puts on this smile. You know, God will give you the wisdom. He'll give you words to encourage. And as we give out, God gives to us. He encourages us. And he sets us up in the body of Christ so that we can be an encouragement to one another. So we come together and we get encouraged and we go out and change the world. We want to see the world change, then we have to be the change agents with the message of Jesus Christ. So it was to that purpose that we make known to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. Let's go on. Jesus said in John 14, 12 through 13, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So Jesus said we would do greater works. I can't imagine doing greater works than Jesus, because remember, he walked on the water and he raised the dead. He healed the blind. He opened deaf ears. He took a little boy's lunch and he fed 5,000 people with this, you know, few loaves and fishes. Now, I can't imagine doing greater things than what Jesus has done. And I often would ask professors about that in Bible college, because how can that be? And most of the time, the answer would be, well, we're going to do the same things that Jesus did, but we're going to do more of it. So it's greater. It's a greater quantity because than what Jesus did, because we're all his ambassadors in the earth. So if we're all working and sharing and praying for people, then we're going to see more miracles, signs, and wonders, right? But one of my professors, Dr. Delron Shirley, he had another take on this, and I think that he teaches well. But you just decide for yourself what you think of his take on it. He said when Jesus was on the earth, he dealt with demons one-on-one. But when Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and was resurrected, he defeated Satan and all the principalities and powers. And the Bible says he made a show of them openly. In other words, he had a big parade, and they took him through the street to show that they had been defeated. So he spoiled them. In other words, he destroyed them. He stripped their powers. And he gave all authority to us over all the power of the enemy. And now, through the church, he's given us the authority to deal with the principalities and powers in the second heaven. So it went from Jesus on the earth dealing with demons one-on-one to the church dealing with principalities and powers and letting the principalities and powers know the manifold wisdom of God and what God's will is for the earth and take back any legal ground that they've gained. Now, does that make sense? I don't know if I explained it well. Does that make sense? And you know, when I was in prayer, the Lord began to talk to me about Elkhart County. And this, I've shared this with the prayer team, but Elkhart County used to be a very productive, industrial, manufacturing place full of entrepreneurs, full of millionaires, and we were a thriving community. And now we look around and we see that all of that has been stripped from us. And the Lord shared with me that is not his intent for Elkhart County. And he shared with me that we are to take prayer teams and go to all the places where there used to be manufacturing plants, where there used to be industry going on, and we're to anoint the land, and we're to pray over the land, and we're to take back what the enemy has stolen and release God's will for prosperity once again here in Elkhart County. Yes. Hallelujah. Because he's given the church that authority. And I shared it with Pastor Valerie Smith from Elijah's Fire, and she said, "We're in. You tell us when you're going, we're in." Because this is the church coming together, taking back what the enemy has stolen and letting principalities and powers know this is what God has legislated for Elkhart County and release it into our land. And see the transformation of the power of God come back to our city because his glory is coming back to this city. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Stand up and give the Lord a praise this morning. Father, we believe, God, you are able to do this for Elkhart County and the church that resides here. Let the church rise up and be the church and establish your will and your kingdom right here in Elkhart, Indiana. Because this city belongs to God. Hallelujah. We are the people of God. Hallelujah. So if you want to be a part of that, let me know. You can stay standing because it's already noon, if you can believe that. I'm going to ask if the praise team would get ready to sing our closing number. But I'm excited about what God is doing. He wants to fulfill his purpose in us. You know, we have this Wild West Fest coming up, and it is the opportunity to be a part of the community. Get the invitations out there. Invite people to come and be a part of what is going on here. Be a part of it. Pastor Leonard is getting ready to set up a table with salvation bracelet making and just be a part. We'll have our prophetic and prayer tent set up if people want prayer. But we want to be the church. We want to offer prayer. We want to offer salvation. But most of all, you know what? We just want to offer fellowship and love and friendship so that people know there is a place that they can come, that there is a place that they belong. And let the church be the church. Let us be the salt and light in the earth today. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word just penetrating into our hearts, Lord. Thank you for the witness of the Spirit, God, confirming what you've called us to do, what you've asked us to do. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Let this word just be caught on fire in our hearts, Lord, that we are the salt and light of the earth, the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, reaching people with the good news of the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for all that you've done. Give him another shout of praise. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.